Riviera Radio. Business.
Hello.
Good morning.
I could get used to this nice clear line.
So nice, isn't it? So lovely to hear your dulcet tones in crystal clear quality.
It's like you're standing next to me and I'm glad you're not.
Oh, thank God I'm not.
Right, markets. Good day yesterday. Reading on Reuters earlier this morning that markets are pricing in a democratic victory in November's election.
Certainly feels that way. Equities rising quite nicely. Investors, as you say, watching the polls very closely and increasingly starting to, as you say, price in that Biden victory. If you look at the odds aggregators, I think they've got Biden a 65% chance this morning, which is to the top end of the range that we've seen over the course of this campaign. So it feels like it's gaining momentum, even this concept of a blue sweep with Democrats controlling Congress as well. It's starting to emerge, which will bring within itself an increase in federal spending and support growth. So markets reacting to that. Yesterday we saw equities on Wall Street rising, clawing back most of the losses triggered by Donald Trump's suspension of the stimulus talks after the president backed a piecemeal approach to aid in a barrage of tweets. Yes, they may have COVID-19, of course, but still not far away from his mobile phone, still interacting with voters, promising $1,200 in terms of direct payment checks, $25 billion of aid for the airline industry, $135 billion to help small businesses. Tech shares also rose yesterday, despite US lawmakers' proposals for stricter antitrust rules in an effort to curb the power of the likes of Apple, Facebook, Alphabet and Amazon. Remember, those four tech giants account for about 15% of the S&P 500. Eli Lilly shares rose yesterday after announcing progress on its COVID-19 antibody drug. S&P 500 at a close up 1.7%. NASDAQ was up 1.9%. That momentum should be filtering through to a stronger start on the European bourses this morning, where we're calling the FTSE up 13 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 49 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 20 points.
You seem to be a little less certain when we spoke about the outcome of the election yesterday. You still thought it was too close to call.
Well, I think you've got to be careful. Anyone who writes off President Trump does so at their peril. He confounded the pollsters last time around, of course. Now, you would argue that the scale of the margin appears wider this time, and is also importantly doing very well in some of those swing states. So listen, the path to the White House with Joe Biden is multiple. It's still a very thin path, it would appear, for President Trump, but certainly not impossible.
And President Trump attempting to rally the religious votes last night by saying God gave him coronavirus deliberately.
it's an interesting campaigning process that we're going through, and no doubt we'll hear a range of weird and wonderful concepts over the course of the next few weeks. A little bit of focus, of course, on the vice presidential debate. It wasn't exactly a game changer by any means.
I saw the end of that, but the thing that captured the most attention was the fly that landed on Mike Pence's head and stayed there for 2 minutes.
See, that's the last thing you want, isn't it? It's funny how these things work. There's the odd thing, it's a bit like Theresa May when the background started to fall apart. It's like the things you can't account for are the things that sort of unseat you in the end.
I'm surprised you didn't notice.
laser focused.
You've got a fly crawling around on your head, you'd think you'd notice after a couple of minutes.
Where was Secret Service? Do they not come in and take care of these sort of intruders?
Maybe it was a Secret Service fly.
Mm.
Could be. Right, so the Federal Reserve has been speaking about interest rates, so no surprise to hear that they're going to leave them on hold for quite some considerable time.
Yeah, minutes emerged yesterday from the last meeting showed members thought it would be appropriate to discuss asset purchase program at future meetings, indicating the willingness to alter, perhaps more likely to increase, the bond buying going forward. So they strive to meet its dual mandate. At the meeting, policymakers, you say, agreed to keep rates on hold near zero until the labour market reached a maximum employment. Inflation reached 2% and was on track to moderately exceed that goal for some time. Forecasts published yesterday show officials didn't expect the economy to reach those targets until 2023 or even 2024, as the US economy gradually recovers from the steep recession inflicted by the coronavirus pandemic. So rates very low for a prolonged period of time, no doubt about that, likely to ramp up those monthly bond buying programs in an effort to support the economy, particularly as stimulus may take some time to come through.
What are they going to do if the recession deepens?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Eventually, you see, they start to run out of ammunition. Now, the Federal Reserve has said they've still got plenty of tools to use. They've got their balance sheet. They can ramp up other elements. They've still got the ability to inject further liquidity. So, according to them, they're fine in terms of that. But there is signs that the U.S. economy, could start to falter, particularly as you look towards the next 3 months, particularly if we don't get any stimulus coming through. And most of the concern would be around the contested election, I suppose.
Not much crumb of comfort for savers, though, isn't it? What do you do if you want to earn a bit of money? I suppose you're going to tell us to put it into equities.
Well, it's the only game in town. That's the concern, isn't it? When you've got very low interest rates, and particularly when you've got negative interest rates, it starts to encourage people to take on more and more risk in an effort to try and generate a return. Now, getting that return these days increasingly means with very low interest rates, particularly on government bonds, that they need to turn to other sources, and equities will be long-term drivers. But we should remember equities are still the most volatile of the liquid asset classes. They offer the greatest opportunity for profit, but also risk of loss. Equity weightings would do more than any other decision to determine the performance of portfolios.
Not Bitcoin?
Still rather cautious on Bitcoin all these years later.
It's been holding steady at around $10,500 for weeks, actually. Hasn't really done much at all.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, it hasn't sort of encouraged people, even during the course of this uncertainty. Now, people in the past have suggested that Bitcoin could be used as a diversification tool within portfolios. For us, I think gold would fulfill that measure much more effectively than Bitcoin.
Yeah, Ethereum's almost doubled in price over the last 6 months, so...
Okay, we can get into this debate once again, but given some of the regulatory issues, the lack of transparency, blah, 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 it's probably not a good place to invest.
It's all a gamble, really, isn't it? I mean, you put your money in and it's up to you when you want to take it out, but you just got to time it right.
When you're talking about the likes of Bitcoin and the rest of them, I think it's a gamble. When you're investing in solid companies that are going to grow over time, that are going to benefit from economic growth, of profits will increase, then I don't think it's a gamble if you do it in a diversified way.
Or you could always invest in bricks and mortar, because UK house prices are going up and up and up. How long is it going to last?
Yeah, they rose last month at the fastest annual pace since 2016, according to figures from the mortgage lender, the Halifax. In the latest sign, the post-coronavirus lockdown surge in the UK residential market is gaining momentum. House prices were 7.3% higher than in September last year, accelerating the annual growth of 5.2% that was registered in August. Though we should remember 2019 was somewhat of a low base. Prices were weighed down by political uncertainty at the time. Remember, Boris Johnson was threatening to suspend Parliament at the time as the escalation of Brexit tensions played out. So you've got to bear that a little bit in mind. The figures do follow up from other indicators that have been pointing to a surge in activity. We've seen a jump in mortgage approval numbers, for example. The move, I think, driven by a range of factors. Obviously, you've got the stamp duty cut that's been put in place. There's pent-up demand. But there's also this concept that people are reassessing their housing needs and preferences as a result of life in lockdown. So perhaps people thinking, you know, would rather live not in a city where I have to commute close to work for convenience, but have a more of a work-life balance, and perhaps that's playing out.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.29 this morning. Euro dollar 1.17. Going to get €1.10 for your British pound this morning.
Bye-sy-bye.
Have a good day.
Talk to you tomorrow. Hank Potts from Barclays.